Adam's going to give us a history of the church, right?
Good morning. With 120 years of history, you know, I could probably stand up here for a while, but I'm not. All right, so on September 19th, 1899, the first organizational meeting was held by Pauline Baptist Church. Pauline Baptist was formed because originally our original members were members of Philadelphia Baptist Church, but when it would rain, the members from this side of this area, where we are, couldn't get to Philadelphia because the roads were too bad. So their horses and buggies couldn't get down the dirt roads. So, our founding members decided to form Pauline Baptist Church in 1899. From what I can tell, the church was held in homes of members because the original sanctuary was not built until 1904, which is part of the existing fellowship hall now. If you want to see part of the building, go into the attic and you can see the original walls or the closets back there, either or. You can see some of the exterior walls. The original sanctuary was located closer to the highway, but it was moved back to the existing location when the highway came through. So that's why the cemetery is also across the road. Sonny, you should probably be doing this instead of me. So in 1904, the original sanctuary was built. 1905, the members of Pauline Baptist Church donated funds to help establish Morrison Baptist Church, which is still up and running and alive today as well. In the 1950s, attendance at times dipped into the single digits, but through perseverance, everybody held on, and we're still here today. In the 1980s, an extension was added to the original sanctuary due to growth in attendance. And then in the 1990s, the Sunday school building was constructed. And at some point in the 90s, Sunday school attendance reached over 100 on Sunday mornings, which is pretty impressive. And then in 1999, we celebrated our 100th year anniversary. And then in 2000, this sanctuary was built. So, we have come a long way. To put this into perspective, in 1899, you're only roughly 35 years after the Civil War. People that could have fought or lived, definitely lived through the Civil War, could have attended Pauline Baptist, definitely were around at that time. Guys, in today's world of the very quickly vanishing small country church, we should be proud of where we are at Pauline Baptist, because you look around and we seem to be thriving. We seem to be growing. Look at all the kids around, and they're all not even here. So we should be proud of what's going on. We should be proud of what we are doing here. But at the same time, we should give God all the glory and honor for it. So, thank you.
Wow, thank you guys. Everybody that was singing and praising the Lord. So, happy homecoming day to you. It's been a long little morning, so I'll be short. So, but I do want to brag on Jesus. Is that okay? Amen. 122 years. Amazing. God's been working through Pauline Baptist Church and still working. As Adam said, we are growing and new families are coming in, and I had to report to the Georgia Baptist Mission Board that we had, nine people baptized and six new families this year. I may have missed someone there. But so anyway, amen. That's good. So this morning we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7. If you're visiting with us, we've been going through the book of Matthew, verse by verse, studying through the Matthew. But this morning, I wanted to take a little break, and I've been praying all week about what God wants me to teach and preach. And I feel this is what He wants us to hear. Amen? I'm thirsty. You have to forgive me. Lynn was cooking all night, and I was sampling all night. So I hope there's some food left. If you're visiting with us, please stay after the service because we got some great food next door and we're going to eat and chow down. Amen? So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for all this time, 122 years of Pauline Baptist Church, spreading the good news, being a light in our community, helping fund missionaries around the world and throughout America, North America, and sending mission teams throughout those areas. Lord, we just pause for a moment and say how grateful we are that our doors are still open. And we do have folks that are still getting baptized, and discipled, and mentored, loved on. Thank you, Lord, for the salvations throughout the years. The people have been saved and are in heaven now that have got saved in this church or through the outreaches of this church. Lord, we just pray that you will continue blessing us and continue ministering through this body. Lord, as always, we thank you. We live in America. We pray for our country. Pray for our leaders from the top to the bottom. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We do not have bombs going off in our neighborhoods and someone kicking in our doors telling us to shut down. Lord, we lift up the military around the world doing their thing. We pray for all the missionaries around the world spreading the gospel, the good news. Father, help me this morning teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Let's read together. It says, and this is a familiar story if you're, you know, study your Bible, if you've heard messages in church, this is a familiar story, but, so here we go. It says, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all." "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She said, "Except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Everybody said amen? So let's talk about this story for a few minutes. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel hopeless? Maybe in a place where you can't figure out what's really going on. You're not really sure how things are going to turn out for you. Maybe you're in a tough bind. Maybe in a difficult situation, you're trying to make a decision about something. It may seem kind of negative, but really this is going on in our world right now. You can't watch the news or anything or what's going on to wonder what in the world is going to happen. This feeling is happening in America now, isn't it? This passage here teaches us something, and I don't want us to miss this, because I'm going to do some teaching here now. So it says, the passage tells us of a woman in a difficult situation, but God opened a way out for her. He did a miracle through a prophet, a man of God. God had a plan. He had a way for this hopeless situation. God had a way. I entitled this message, The Waymaker. He had a way. God is the Waymaker. He's the Pathfinder. He is the original Trailblazer. And my friends, God has a way. He has figured out a way for you in your situation and your plans. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. You can lean on Him. He loves you. He suffered and died on that old rugged cross. He was buried and He rose on the third day. He is our blessed hope. He is the first one that was raised from the dead, raised from the grave. He is proof that we have everlasting life if you believe in Him. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He has made the way. He is the way. We have eternal life through Him. We are citizens of heaven. There's royal blood flowing through our veins if you're born again. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is our destiny. Jesus didn't do all this to allow us to slip through His fingers. He didn't do all this to allow us to slip out of His hands. God does not have slippery fingers. God does not have weak hands. John 10:27-30. Listen to this scripture. This is Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. That's what the scripture says. It does not say, I did good enough and I have eternal life. I did all the things to measure up and I have eternal life. That's not what it said. It says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. That's what the scripture says. And they will never perish. And no one, everybody say no one. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is good news. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Anytime the Word of God sort of repeats itself in the same little spot, God is trying to emphasize something. He tells us twice right there that no one can snatch us out of His hand. We are saved and born again if you've placed your faith in Christ, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In our passage, we see a woman with two sons trying to cope with the financial problems left by her late husband's irresponsible decisions. Men, let's not let that happen to us. The woman's husband must have borrowed a large amount of money for some reason. Now her husband's dead and she has no way to repay the loan. The creditors want to take her two sons as slaves. So she's in a real bind. She's in a real sticky problem. And the Bible tells us that her husband was an upright man who believed in God. He even was one of the teachers in the, as we say, a seminary. He taught prophets and priests. So even Christians can make mistakes. So we have to be careful. Amen? Her situation seemed hopeless until she saw the man of God. She saw Elijah. And it really wasn't about whether Elijah was going to be able to help her financially. Because see, she knew that the man of God, the prophet of those days, were a direct connection with God. So she really wasn't technically like going to see if Elijah could help her. She knew that he had a hotline with God. So she was going to ask the Lord to help her. He was in connection with Almighty God. She wanted to seek God and ask her, what can she do to get herself out of this bind, out of this pickle she's found herself in? Elijah looked at her and said, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? This is a very powerful little principle here that may apply to a lot of you. See, God had a plan. He had a way for her to fix her problem. So the first thing Elijah says, he pointed out to the woman, what are your resources? What do you have that we can work with, that God can work with? You see, Elijah didn't say, oh, let me run down to the bank and see if I got enough money in here that I can help you out. That's okay at times, but in this case, God was making a very powerful point. Elijah didn't say, oh, let's go around the neighborhood and, you know, let's put together a GoFundMe account. No, you know, he didn't. He says, what do you have in your house? See, God's going to perform a miracle here. But sometimes he wants us to get involved. I believe most of the time he wants us to get involved. He wants us to get our hands dirty. He wants us to take action, right? You see, God can create anything out of nothing. He can. He did that. He did that in the creation of the world. But most of the time, if you look at scriptures, God wants us to put some skin in the game. Some sweat. If we're going to see miracles. God wants us to exercise our faith and participate in the miracle. Sometimes it's a matter of, okay, let's do our little tiny part. And God will do his big, giant part. James 2:26 says this. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And y'all heard these scriptures before. Three examples real quickly. The wedding feast. There was no wine. But guess what? There was 6 stone water jars hanging around. What did Jesus tell them to do? Take the stone jars that they have, put some water in it, right? And we all know the rest of the story. Jesus performs, you know, has the miracle, the wine. The other one is Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And what did he tell them to do? Go over there and move that stone. They were heavy, big old stones. So they had to go over there. It's a bunch of men probably, or or women too. Sorry, I'm not trying to be sexist there, but, you know, they had to move that stone. They had to do something. They had to move that stone before Jesus, you know, called Lazarus from the dead. What about the feeding of the more than 5,000? Right? What did they have? 5 loaves and 5 fish. That's all they had. But Jesus took that and fed all those people. Sometimes God wants us to exercise our faith and participate in the miracle. Do you need a miracle today in your life? Guarantee you 60 to 80% of you do. Maybe 100%. I don't know. But do you need a miracle? So the question is, what do you have? What do you have to give to God? Now, notice the story. The lady had a little small jar of olive oil. And God used it to solve her big problem. Amen? The boy had 5 loaves of fish, and God fed a big crowd. We don't always know how God's going to work this out, but He has a way. He already knows the way out. Amen. The little we have, if we trust Him with it, we can see miracles in our lives. So this lady kept pouring and pouring, and her sons kept bringing one jar after another until all the jars were full and the oil stopped flowing. Interesting how the oil kept flowing as long as he had little jars or pots to put it in. All the jars were full and the oil stopped flowing. She went to Elijah and said, here's the part that really, when I was studying this, really got on my heart right here, and I was sharing with Lynn. She went to Elijah and he said, Elijah told her this, go sell the oil and pay your debts. Go sell the oil and pay your debts. Anybody in here in sales? Raise your hand if you're in sales. This is your scripture. Go and sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. So she took off door to door selling. Don't hate on those door to door salesmen too much these days, right? They all taking care of their families too. This lady had to go set up a booth at the farmer's market. Maybe. Maybe she'd build her a website. Started selling oil. A blog. Horse and buggy. Putting her kids in there and running around selling oil. But she was doing what she had to do. How many of you ever had to work 2 jobs before? Or you're still working 2 jobs? 3 jobs, you know? Doing what you have to do to see the miracle. Getting up real early in the morning. Anybody get up real early in the morning to get out there? Yeah. Thank you for your service. Men, thank you for doing those night shifts. Tyler, proud of you, man. You're manning up here, taking care of your family, working the things you did, right? I could call all kinds of names. They trusted God and helped them. Not only did they pay their debts, but they had an abundance. We don't really know how much the abundance was, but it was an abundance. And John 10:10 tells us this. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have life that's more abundant. Amen? My prayer for you this morning is to ask God, seek God, ask God what you can do. Ask God what you can do extra to take care of your family, to trust Him for maybe a miracle in your life. Read the Word. Apply the Word. You may be feeling like you might be at the end of your road. God has a way. He is the way for you. He is the way maker, the pathfinder, and the original trailblazer. Trust Him and follow Him. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this situation that we're in? Maybe you're thinking, how am I going to deal with these crazy people at work? What's going on in my life? I got this medical issue. I got these financial issues. I got these family and children issues or grandchildren issues. What am I going to do? My friends, God has a plan. He has a way. Trust Him. Trust Him. Isaiah 59:1 says this, and I'll close. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save us, nor His ear too dull to hear us. God loves you and He cares about you. Trust me, He has the way. He has made a way for you. He is trustworthy. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And He is the way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this word. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's never accepted You as their personal Savior, that they're in this song of invitation, Lord, that they will come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. And we can make sure today that heaven is their home. Love You. In Jesus' name. Amen.